Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to worship this morning here at the Salvation Army. It's a little bit different today, and it gives me pleasure this morning to introduce members of the Fisherman's Mission. We've got Andy Malcolm, who's the regional fundraiser and whatever, and editor of the magazine for the Fisherman's Mission, and it's good to welcome him. And also, sitting in the congregation is Tim Jenkins, who's going to lead our Harvest of the Sea service this afternoon. Tim comes from Lowestoft, he's the senior superintendent there, who looks after the work of the mission around the East Coast. Is it Kingsland and Leigh-on-Sea or somewhere, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So he's got a big area, and Felixstowe is part of his area. And I do know that he was in Felixstowe this week because somebody told me they'd seen him, so okay. But it's good to welcome our friends this morning, and we're going to join and share in worship together.
Good, hello. Yeah, you'll probably regret doing that later on, but thank you very much anyway. That's very sweet of you. It's great to be together, okay? Great to be together and share in our worship of our living Lord Jesus. I want to read some verses from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. So we're going to join together in a joyful song to God as he is singing joyful songs about us. So I think we should sing about him. So we're going to sing together, Thine Be the Glory, number 276. And the words are on the screen and we'll stand to sing. Let's take our seats and let's pray. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your living presence with us here this morning. We thank you that we can freely come and sing praises to your name. And Father, as we gather here, we thank you that you are here with us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray you'd fill each one of us this morning. Lord, in everything we do, in the singing, in the listening, in the chatting to each other, in the praying, in whatever activities we do in this next hour or so, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that your Spirit will work through us. And Lord, that we would come closer to each other, and most importantly, closer to you. But Lord, we begin our day's worship by giving you the glory. We call you our Lord of Lords and our King of Kings. We name you as Majesty, Sovereign over our lives. And we just thank you and praise you that we can share this special, precious time with you this morning. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You. Great. Gosh. I'm very loud. Excellent. Good. So you can all hear me okay? That's good. So it's great to be here. Thank you very much for having myself and Tim along. Again, you might regret that later on when Tim does the service this afternoon. But it's good to be here, and it's really great to share with you today. So I thought I'd get us in the mood, first of all, for a day of fishiness. All right, does that sound okay? You probably will think about your roast dinner anyway. So yeah, a day of fishiness. So if I can have my PowerPoint up at the back, that'd be absolutely fabulous. Because one thing Doug told me was that you lot are very knowledgeable, living by the coast, very knowledgeable about the fish in the sea around us. Okay, so we're going to find out just how knowledgeable you are, right? Because we're going to play a little game, all right, called Codswallop. Because I've got on the screen here about 8 or 9 or so British fish. All these fish are caught commercially around our island. Or are they? I might have made 1 or 2 of them up. Right. So it's a very simple quiz. I'm going to put a picture of a fish up. If you think it's a real fish, you've got to shout back cods. Do you practice that, cods? Very good. And if I think I've made it up, it's absolute rubbish, you've got to shout back wallop. All right? Perfect. Okay. So we'll see how we go. Very simple stuff. The first one, lemon sole. Easy. At least Tim knows the answer to that one. That's good. Second one. There we go. There it is. There's a lemon sole. The next one. Ooh, quickly click the nail buttons. Whiting! Well, you saw the picture, didn't you? So you know that's true. Well done. So look, there it is. And the next, dagger fish. Cods or wallop? Have a look. Yeah, quite right, yeah. No such. We do get swordfish, and they are quite small, but no dagger fish. Okay, the next one. Spur dog. Anyone else? Let's have a look. Yeah, that's a real fish. Yeah, who likes a bit of rock eel? Yeah, yeah. No such fish as rock eel. And it's spur dog. That's what it really is. All right, it's a bit like a shark. That's what it is in effect. So yeah, that's a real fish. Okay, the next one, big-eyed ray. Wallop. Most people are saying. Let's have a look. No, that is wallop. You're absolutely right. In the UK, we only get small-eyed ray. All right, there we are. Big-eyed ray plays in a band on a Tuesday night. So there we are. Lump sucker. Cods or wallop? Wallop, you reckon? Well, can I tell you, whatever we do for the rest of the day, the next picture you see will be the best thing you see all week. All right, you ready for this? Look at that. Isn't that lovely? It's marvellous, isn't it? Little tiny. That's a lump sucker, okay? Little tiny fish, and that lives alongside salmon. Whenever you get salmon, you get lump suckers. So there we are. That's the real fish. That's cods. And the next one, Dentex. Is that where you put your false teeth in, you reckon? Is it that one? Let's have a look. There we go. There it is. Yeah, it's a real British fish. Not all the fish that we catch goes into our food chain. Yeah, some goes into agricultural products, pet food, Aldi fish pie. Who can tell where these things... It's lovely, but who can tell where these things end up, all right? There we are. And the next one, flora fish. Someone wallop over in that corner. I can't stand it. Okay, let's have a look. Yeah, absolutely right, yeah. We do get a butterfish, but no flora, all right? Keep up, we're almost there, okay. Two-bearded rockling. Wallop over there. Very Two-bearded rockling. You've got some experts, certainly, because that is wallop. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Isn't God's creation amazing? He's made a 3-bearded rockling, a 4-bearded rockling, and a 5-bearded rockling, but never made a 2-bearded rockling. It's absolutely amazing. A lack of beards in the creation process. But there we are. Okay, last one, more or less. Elkstrom's top knot. Elkstrom's Top Knot, cods or wallop? Cods, wallop, well, you know, I couldn't possibly have made that one up, and there it is, all right? Yeah, it's not very well known because no one can really see it, but it is an actual fish, okay? It's very good at camouflage, so there you go. The harvest of the sea, that's what we're going to look at for in our service this afternoon. What time's that service, Doug, remind me? 3:30 in this place, okay? The harvest of the sea. We're going to have some real fish in here. It's going to really stink. It's going to be absolutely fabulous. But it's a chance for us to give thanks to God for the harvest of the sea. And we just want to think about that for a few seconds, okay? Whether the fish is being caught in big nets like this one here, you know, all that fish going to come pouring out. Or these guys chucking their lobster pots, their creel pots over the side of the boat, sort of a one-man operation. You know, it's all about catching fish. And let me ask you a question. Fishing, is it the most dangerous job there is? That wasn't a cod, yeah, that's cod, that's right. It is the most dangerous, in peacetime, the most dangerous job there is. Okay. And we are here in the Fisherman's Mission. One of our roles is to look after for those in peril on the sea. Okay. 100 fishermen lost in 10 years. Right. However much you pay for your fish in the shops, that's the true cost of fish and chips, yeah? Remembering 100 fishermen lost in the last 10 years. And the Fisherman's Mission, you might have heard of us before, you might not have done, you know, we're a charity, Christian charity, been around for 137 years. You know, our role is to share the love of God and the compassion of Christ with our fishermen around the coastline in a very practical way. We've been around for quite a while, you know, and there we are, a lifeline of welfare and emergency care and Christian witness. Fishermen and their families, and we do that all around the coastline of the UK. 137 years of emergency response, pastoral care and Christian witness. Sharing a word, a thought, a prayer, bringing Jesus on board is at the heart of everything we do in the Fisherman's Mission. So thank you, you know, in advance, really do mean that, for your prayers and your gifts. You make our mission possible. But I've got one more question. Okay, one more question this morning. Fish fingers, cods or wallop? Okay, fish fingers, cods or wallop, what do you reckon? Well, you're not quite sure, are you? Well, here's a very rare picture of them in the wild. There we are, being chased. Very rare you see that sort of picture. But there we are. Of course, fish finger is a real fish. We all know that, okay? And it just reminds us again, you know, well done. You got some right, Felix Stoke Salvation Army. Okay, you got some right. Well done. But it does remind us, verse in Genesis, when the creation process, you know, God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. We think of insects swarming, but what about the sea swarming with fish and other sea creatures, all part of God's amazing creation. The world we have is God-given, and we need to remember that. But most of all, we need to remember that we are the masterpiece, you and me. We're the best thing that God made. Psalm 139 verse 14, I praise you Lord for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you look in the mirror in the morning, you might not think that, but it's true. Okay, you are the masterpiece, the best thing that God made. How do we know that? Well, because he sent his son to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And there we are. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you this morning for your creation. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing fact that you made a very small green fish called a lump sucker and a bearded rockling with 3, 4, or 5 beards. And you made the sea to swarm with all these wonderful creatures. But most of all, Lord, we thank you because you made us the pinnacle, the masterpiece of what you've done. And thank you, Lord, so much that you came and you love us so much that you sent your son to die for us. We pray, Lord, that you be with us this morning for our services here. And this afternoon as well. In your name, Father. Amen.
As you've gathered, Andy's quite a character. The first time I met him was outside Marks and Spencer's in Bell Snuggins, when we were the core officer. He was collecting, and he had the biggest blow-up dolphin under his arm you've ever seen. And I realised him. And also, I find it amazing that the Fisherman's Mission, Andy's a cockney. Well, don't have any participation in that, do they? No, okay, so I find that very interesting. But he's a great guy once you get to know him, and I'm sure we're going to have a really good day with him today. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence, Jesus the Nazarene." You want to stand or do you want to sit for a second? Stand, and that seems to be what stands for. That some of our young people are missing today. Well, they're at a youth event in Norwich, and we would think about them today. And so, of course, it leaves the singing company a little bit defeated. But they're going to sing for us now, and they're going to sing Find a Little Seed.
Don't expect to see.
Thank you, singing company. Singing with three, you're braver than me, I tell you. We thank you for that, and we thank you for your contribution to our worship this morning. At this point, we're going to have a prayer for our young people. And so let's share a prayer today for all our young people, shall we? Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, that you'll be with them. Let's just share this prayer, shall we? Lord, we share this prayer at this time. We bring our young people before you. We think of our children and our children's work here. And we ask that you'll bless the children that come here week by week for whatever activity, whether it's youth club or whether it's wife and band or singing company or on Sunday for our Sunday school activities, that you'll be with them. We think of those who have gone to Norwich today, that you'll also be just with them at this time and bless them. That they may have a good day sharing together in their own style of worship today and whatever they're doing, that you will just be very close to them and bless them, Lord, we pray. Lord, we think of those young people who today are looking at universities, spending this weekend going to look to see where their future lie in education. That you'll bless them also today, that what they see, they will be able to make the right decisions for their future education. So bless them. Lord, we think of all our young people in this town, not just those that come here, but all of them, wherever they are, that we somehow may make a better connection with the young people of this town, and we may attract more into our church here, that we will see a growth in our young people's work. So bless us, Lord, as we pray, as we want to go out and to evangelise for you amongst young people in any way we can. So, Lord, just bless us, we pray. Amen. And now we're going to listen to the offering and the announcements. No, we're going to have the offering and listen to the announcements.
Shall we pray? We're reminded again this morning, Lord, how amazing you are, how you provide us with food, you provide us homes, families, and so often we just don't appreciate it. But this morning, we thank you for these gifts you give us, and we ask that as we have given in our offering, that you will once again receive it and bless it, so that we might use it for the extension of your kingdom here in our town of Felixstowe. Hear and answer this prayer I ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome to you. Tea and coffee will be served in the community hall following our worship this morning. And I'm sure that
you'll understand that it'll be a good cup of tea because I'm helping to make it this morning, and this is my first time, and Libby's given me a trial run, and so we'll see how many people are ill after the meeting this morning. But you're welcome, and spend a few time together to get to chat, but not too long because you've got to be back early. Because we've got no open air witness on the triangle, but I have left information on the triangle that there's no open air, but they have to come this afternoon to the meeting. So if they're coming from the open air, then you have got to come back at 3:30 for the. I think it's going to be a great thing. It's the first time for me, the Harvest of the Seas. So I'm looking forward to that this afternoon. So 3:30, please come back again for worship. We've got so much going on in this church. And in the brochure or the bulletin, you'll see all the events the next weeks and months. And that's what you've got to do. Take it home and read it, because we haven't time to go through them all. But we are having a coffee morning on this Saturday. It's our friends from the Bible Society, and they're using our hall for a coffee morning, which starts at 10 o'clock, and I'm sure you will want to support it. You'll see on page 3 or 4 of your bulletin, our second young person who we're sponsoring in Uganda, and this is Joanne. And you'll read a little bit about her, and there's a photograph of her there. If you work with under 18 children, then you must have a safe and sound certificate. If you haven't got one and you are working with children or want to work with children, or yours has run out, next Sunday, the 20th, there is going to be a safe and sound course following our worship in the morning, and there will be lunch provided. So if you are one of those people who needs to get your certificate, would you sign on the notice board there, the form, so that we know how many people are coming. And I'd like to thank Major Doug for organising today, and so far so good, buddy. So far so good, yeah. But I have to tell you, I looked in the fridge, and there's a fish in there, and they've still got their eyes in, and they look at you as much as say, fisherman's friend? Cool, dear, no. But I'm going to look forward to when these fish arrive out from the fridge. So come along and you'll find out, just like me, what's going to happen. Thank you for listening.
But please don't ask me what the fish are, because I haven't got a clue. I was asking the guy yesterday what all the different fish. I didn't recognise them. I do know cod, I do know white and plaice, but that's about it. So come along, it's... And it's going to be a bit fishy this afternoon. We decided to leave the fish in the fridge this morning because otherwise we thought the place might reek a bit by this afternoon. Now, the band are going to play for us at this point. They're going to play a setting, I Know Thou Art Mine, which is a setting of the tune of Unsworth to the words of Ralph Featherston. My Jesus, I love thee, and know thou art mine. To thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. Ever I love thee, my Jesus is thou, and know thou art mine.
Thank you very much. Now it's time for our scripture reading this morning, which comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and verses 34 to 40. This is Jesus teaching us about the most important commandment. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." May the Lord bless to us that reading.
At this point, the songsters are going to sing to us. And this morning, they're going to sing a new arrangement of the old song, "Now Thank We All Our God." I hope you enjoy this arrangement. It's something that we've started rehearsing recently, and the songsters have got to enjoy it. At first, I must admit, I wasn't sure, but one of those pieces that's grown on me. So let's listen, shall we, as the songsters know the "Now Thank We All Our God." Those words this morning, and also the setting of that song. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing song number 601, a song of holiness, a song of devotion. "Lord, I come to you," and we'll remain seated to sing.
Thank you.
and we thank you for that prayer, Lord, that we would see you face to face, and Lord, that you would renew our minds. As we look at your word now, Lord, we pray your spirit would come to us, Father, to show us the words of truth that we need to hear. Teach us, we pray. Let this be part of our worship this morning. In your name. Amen. Good. It's great to be with you again. Thank you very much for your lovely warm welcome. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm just going to ponder for a few moments on those words of scripture that we read earlier. There's a PowerPoint coming up in a second. We'll look at our title there. Love God and love what God loves. Now most of us are brought up with phrases that we are told are true when the reality may not be the case. For instance, if cows in a field are sitting down, it's going to rain. True or false? No. There's no real evidence. What happens, if it's cold, cows will sit down to keep warm. If it's hot, they'll stand up to keep cool. So maybe there is some grain of truth in that. The next one. If you pour a face and the wind changes, you'll keep that face forever. That's sadly what happened to me when I was a small child. That's the way it goes. Of course, that's absolute rubbish, not true. What about this one? Sitting on a cold wall will give you piles. That's the reason why they changed the pews from most of the Church of England churches, because of that particular reason, but it's not true, of course. And this one, finally, eating carrots helps you see in the dark. There's a little bit of truth in that, okay? The chemicals, vitamin A in particular, in carrots can help improve your vision, but there is no actual sort of evidence for nighttime vision. It actually came, that one, from the Second World War. We had radar in our planes, which meant we were very good at shooting down Germans during the nighttime. But we wanted to keep it as secret as possible, so we sent out the Minister of Information during the war, put out a whole propaganda campaign saying that our pilots were only doing so well in the dark because they were eating lots of carrots. And it was a whole propaganda campaign. In fact, towards the end of the Second World War, the Germans were also feeding their own pilots carrots. Okay, that's absolutely true. So these things, they're phrases that we know and love, but they're not always as true as they sound. But if you wanted a phrase to describe God, what would you pick? What would you say? What words of truth would speak into that? How about this one? God is love. God is love. Three simple words that in a way describe perfectly the foundations of our Christian faith. But what does it actually mean? How does that truth impact our lives? And what does Jesus say about God is love? In our reading this morning, Jesus spoke these words: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important: love your neighbour as yourself. So there you have it. Jesus tells us very clearly, love God and love what God loves. We're going to break that passage, if you like, those words down into three simple points. We're going to think about looking up and loving God. We're going to think about looking out and loving others. And we're going to think about looking in and loving ourselves. So first of all, let's think about looking up and loving God. The religious leaders in Jerusalem here were trying to trap Jesus, asking him which was the greatest commandment. The reason? Well, it was a multiple choice question. There were about 613 possible answers to that question from Old Testament law. Jesus answered first by looking up. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Simple. Love God with everything you have, everything you are. Heart, soul, and mind. In unison, loving God wholeheartedly. And this is love. This love we are to give is a command. It's not a suggestion or a hint. It's a command. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So how can we even begin to achieve that? How can we even explain or quantify what love is, given the mixed up culture we live in? It can be difficult. Here's some letters from some children about love. Here we are. I love you. I love you very much. I like you as much as cake. I love you more than anything in the world. Quite simple and straightforward. But to read that, very clearly. Dear Daddy, you are so kind. I bet invisible unicorns follow you around. I love you so much. Heartwarming. Does it get any better? Well, it gets a bit odd occasionally. I'm angry at you, and I'm not talking to you today and tomorrow. P.S. all day, P.S. I still love you. There's hope for us all. And this is my favourite. Dear Mum and Dad, I love everything about this camp, except the campers. Love some Serena. There must be more to loving God wholeheartedly. And the key, I think, to loving God is to first recognise how much he loves us. Okay? We thought earlier about that Psalm 139. And that psalm tells us that God knows absolutely everything about us. Even before we were born, he knew all about us. Even the very numbers of the hair on our head is numbered. Okay? For some people, it's more of a blessing than for others, but that's okay. You know, everything about us, he knows every word, every thought, every deed, everything we say, even before we go to say it. Every place we go to, every place we've been, he knows it. Warts and all, he knows the real people we are, good and bad, light and dark. And the astonishing, mind-blowing truth is that even with that intimate knowledge of who we are, he loves us. He loves us. He loves me. He loves you, each one of us. And loving God wholeheartedly, I think, starts with looking up first, loving God and thinking about just how much he loves us. We look up seeing and knowing God in our lives and living lives of worship to him. That means we're loving him. We look up and see his goodness. We see his holiness. We see his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness in our lives, and we love him. We look straight to the cross, and we are compelled to love him with everything that we are. And it's important that we get this bit right, because, you know, our horizontal relationships are the product of our vertical relationships. But it starts, first of all, by looking up and loving God. Secondly, we look out and we love others. Jesus said this. The second is equally important. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love God and love what God loves. This is Her Majesty the Queen, and when she's on holiday in the summer in Balmoral in Scotland, she often goes for walks in the gardens and around the wider estate. Only her and a private detective, and as you can see, she's dressed up normally just in a headscarf. There's no tiaras or gowns or flunkies following her around. It's just her and a detective. And a little while ago, one of her private detectives told the story of how one summer, when they were walking around Balmoral, just him and the Queen, they came across a party of American tourists who didn't recognise that she was the Queen. And they started chatting to her, and they asked her a few questions, and they said to her, "Do you live locally?" To which the Queen replied, "I've got a little place in the village." Conveniently ignoring Balmoral Castle over her shoulder. And the conversation went on, and then they said to her, "Have you ever met the Queen?" And she said, "No, I haven't," but pointing to a royal detective, "but he has," is what she said. But it begs a question, you know, do we know our neighbours? Okay, do you know the neighbours here? When I drove up this morning, I almost knocked over a man walking his dog, turning the car around to find a parking space. I thought, where's he going? What's he doing? Do you know? Why is he not here? What's going on in his life? Do we know the neighbours? Do we see them as God sees them? Do we love them as God loves them? That's not easy, because it might mean that we have to love the unlovable. But that word, unlovable, it doesn't exist in God's vocabulary, and it shouldn't exist in ours. Because no one's exempt from our love, because no one's exempt from God's love. If we are truly to look out and love others, that means no one is excluded from our love. And this church family, we are called here in this place, and the churches I go to and Tim and everyone else, you know, is to love unconditionally all those people that God has placed in front of us. And that will come at a cost. You know, that will mean loving in the face of opposition, frustration, possibly exhaustion. It will mean loving with our sleeves rolled up, sweat on our brow and dirt on our hands. It will mean loving when everything within us is saying something different. It will mean our hearts being broken by what breaks his heart. Ultimately, you can only love like that through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a chap called Brian Heasley from DIS. And he heads up a prayer ministry called 24/7 in Ibiza. It's a ministry that often saw them dealing with drunk revelers who will wipe themselves out with drink and drugs on a night time. It's been involved heavily in working with people in the sex industry in Ibiza. It was a heavy, tough, dirty, filthy, costly ministry that took its toll on Brian and the teams that used to help him. At the end of a very long night, as dawn was breaking over Ibiza, they used to retreat to their prayer room. And they used to pray one simple prayer. Jesus, let your heart bleed into my heart. Jesus, let your heart bleed into my heart. You know, if we're really honest about loving those outside of here, about looking out and loving others, we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. To surrender our strivings and our needs for his strength. To surrender our limited love for his endless compassion. To surrender our finite hearts for his unquenchable reservoir of love. So we look up and we love God. We look out and we love others. But maybe some of us here this morning, the third part of that commandment is the hardest of all. To look in and love. It says there, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important, love your neighbour as yourself. You often miss that bit, but it's there. Love your neighbour as yourself. Now don't get confused, don't get wrong here. We can make this very dangerous if we're not careful. This plane is a Gloucester Gladiator. It's part of the planes of the Second World War. We often think of Spitfires and Hurricanes, but this was also a very important plane in the Battle of Britain. And at the start of the Second World War, the war had not been going for very long, Winston Churchill and his wife Clementine were doing a tour of an airfield. Churchill was an honorary squadron leader of the Gloucester Gladiators. And they came across one of these planes, and Clementine Churchill being quite enthusiastic, said to the guy on the ground, do you mind if I get in the plane and pretend to fly it? And they weren't going to say no, so they helped Clementine into the cockpit, and she sat there pressing buttons and twisting knobs and flicking switch and turning handles, whilst at the same time Winston stayed on the ground examining very closely the machine guns. It was only when the visit had finished and the couple had gone on that they realised that the machine guns were cocked and ready to fire. If Clementine Churchill had pressed just the wrong button at just the wrong time, she would have taken her husband's head off. And maybe the Second World War would have been quite different. Of course, the Churchills were unaware of the danger they were in. But when we say, Jesus says love yourself, there is a danger. Of course, it means that we are not to put ourselves before others. We're clearly not to make all our lives making sure that we have the best in everything. That's what loving ourselves could mean, but it's not about arrogance or pride. It's not saying, look at me, how lovely am I? But it's this. Love your neighbour as yourself. You know, we're seeing that we are to look up and love God and to share God's love with others. So how good are we are looking in and accepting God's love for ourselves? You know, we say the words, God is love. But do you really believe that personally? Do you know it personally? Do you accept God's love, his unconditional love for us, once and all in our lives? Do we know what it is to be loved by God unconditionally? You see, loving ourselves is about moving beyond the theoretical and theological love of God to the personal, precious love of our Saviour, who is nailed to an old rugged cross to pay the price for our sins, to tear up the mess in our lives. Loving ourselves is seeing what God sees when he sees us. And as we said earlier, those words from Zephaniah, the Lord your God is living with you. He is a mighty Saviour. He takes delight in you with gladness. With his love he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Is that a picture you have of God in your life this morning? Loving you so much that he's calming your fears. Loving you so much that he's delighting in you with gladness. He looks at you with a smile on his face and a chuckle. Loving you so much that he sings joyful songs about you. God is love. And forgive me if I'm wrong this morning, but when I came to prepare this, you know, I really felt that God was saying there are some here this morning who just need to accept that love of God in their lives. Maybe for the first time, or maybe you've followed Jesus for years, but you're plagued by guilt or uncertainty. How can God love me, you ask? Or maybe you've got too familiar with the love of God over the years, and that fire that once burned is now dim, because you've just grown used to and you've forgotten what it means to have the Lord of the world love you. Philip Yancey said these words, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. So let me ask you, can you hear God singing over you this morning? Is God's love for you a reality in your life? Will you come to his open arms, embrace his love, and accept his love? As we close, love God and love what God loves with all our heart, all our soul and all our mind. You know, this is a tough ask, but it's a commandment for each one of us, leading us to live our lives to the full, living lives with meaning and purpose as designed for us by God. You know, a story is told of a young couple who decided to get married. They went to their parish church, which was renowned for its grand and lavish weddings. The couple chatted through the arrangements with the vicar, and following a short and nervous pause in the conversation, the prospective groom asked the crucial question. "Reverend," he said, "how much will it cost to get married at your church?" The vicar looked the young man directly in the eye and said to him, "There is no set fee. You just give me what you think she is worth. You just give me what you think she is worth." When we grasp just how much God loves us, just how much we are worth to him, then the challenge of loving God, the challenge of loving others, and the challenge of loving ourselves is as simple as looking up, looking out, and looking in. Let's pray together. Just in a moment of quiet, let's just picture again just how much God loves us. God is love. Three simple words that save so much. Father, we pray this morning, whether we don't know you at all, whether it's the fact that we doubt your love for us, or whether we have grown used to your love for us. Father, we pray that you would just fill us now with your Holy Spirit, that we would know again just how much you love us, just how much we are worth to you. And Father, we pray in the same way, Lord, that as we love you, that we would love others. Challenge us afresh to show unconditional love to those around us. And Lord, too, we pray that our lives would reflect the love that you have for each of us. We pray, Lord, that we will be able to love you with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. In your name, Father. Amen. We're going to close our worship by singing together 455, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And we'll stand to sing. Lord, we just pray that we would be lost in your love. What a wonderful word that is, lost in your love, as we praise your name each and every day, all the day long. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.